You're listening to the Extra Point Show from the Just Call Jed Studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome into the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Derek Kramer, Zach Jones back this time around.
Morning.
As you were in Pittsburgh.
I was.
You were. You found out what IKEA is.
IKEA's kind of cool.
Yeah.
I kind of threw my girlfriend under the bus a little bit to start.
On the tweet.
IKEA was kind of cool. Yeah. I kind of like it.
So
I could spend a lot of money there.
So your adventures in Pittsburgh.
It was good to get out of there.
Yeah. But your adventures in Pittsburgh, they include IKEA as one of the highlights. But it's good to have you back here, buddy.
Thanks.
Because stuff has happened.
Yeah. The weather's much colder here. Yeah,
oh, my God.
Which is crazy. Pittsburgh. It was like 75 and sunny the whole time. I show back up. It's like 55 and overcast. I'm like, oh, I missed you so much. I missed this.
But at the same time. Before you left, the weather was great.
That's right. I took it with me.
Yeah.
And then I left it.
And then you left it there.
And then I left it.
You forgot something.
Well.
Good job.
We'll figure it out. We'll be there.
But a lot has happened.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, Joe Callie and I, we hosted this back on Friday. And then the two of us went in two separate directions. We go to, Joe goes to the Bandits game.
Mm-hmm.
And I head out to Rochester for the Amherst game two against Laval. Both electric settings, both had parties outside, and it broke my heart.
Yeah.
Because it's like, man, it's been 14 years. Food trucks weren't really a popular thing yet.
No,
the last
now
time the Sabres made the playoffs. Food truck owners, if the Sabres make the playoffs, food truck owners are going to be the first people to start salivating at profits.
I'm just like, we will just park right there.
Not the Buffalo Sabres.
It's right there.
Food trucks.
Just a little off.
Not kidding.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Walk out to a block party in Rochester, grab myself a patty melt from a food truck, and have a great time.
I'm a big food truck foodie.
Yes.
Like, I like traveling to other cities and experiencing their food trucks. I did not do that for Pittsburgh this year. Did not do that.
But the local establishments are just on wheels.
And it's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a party in the plaza.
Yeah.
With a bunch of local food
Breaks
trucks.
My
yeah, baby.
Heart. The Sabres do this. I swear to God, the city's not going to know how to function because we haven't done this in 14 years.
Well, we've seen how New York with the Knicks is functioning now that they've made an Eastern Conference final, and it's basically pandemonium.
They're not. There's riots in the streets.
And I'd imagine Buffalo would be pretty close to that. I mean, we all joke, like, what would it be if the Sabres or Bills won their respective championships? I think now we're at a point with the Sabres of, if they just made the playoffs, it'd be bedlam.
I instructed my program director. I will betray you. I'm not covering the draft the minute that the Sabres make the playoffs. I'm at the arena.
You've openly let him know that.
Yes. And it's to a point of, I'll work, just not the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will betray you for that.
Which is nice, though. You're like, I don't want off. Like, I'll work. It's just, it's going to be in a different avenue. Which is good for you.
Yeah. I just want that now. I want to betray my boss. Those are words I don't think anyone should ever say publicly, let alone with no context. But I'm going to say that. And yet, why am I so fascinated about things like this with even the Sabres, for example? Well, Toronto did it again. Holy smokes. They did it again. Boy. Not only did they just do the Leafs thing again, change is now inevitable. Not just for the Leafs, but for the entire National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's going to shift on its head. That's the part that is going to intrigue me truly the most. This past year, the Sabres did not take advantage of Boston falling from grace. Now Toronto might have to do the same. They're not re-signing Mitch Marner. They might not even re-sign John Tavares at a discount. What does that mean? It means Toronto's going to take a hit, probably a little bit of one, in the coming years. Because last year it didn't happen with Boston after they lost a lot of players. And it's like, okay, when's it actually going to happen? The answer was this past year. So within the next couple of years, Toronto's going to feel the sting of a Mitch Marner-sized hole in their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
because they do not have first-round picks. They do not have they have like one prospect that might be ready for the big time. But if you have to replace two top six forwards, well, you better hope that UFA offers up more than Mitch Marner.
Well, I mean, but that's the thing. This is ultimately, this is 8 years of trying and trying desperately and failing. That you had to make a lot of big boy moves. You had to do a lot of stuff. You had to kind of empty the cookie jar. Now it comes due. And you kind of, it feels like, it's not official, but it feels like you burnt the bridge with Marner. He's going to walk. Tavares, you probably should let go anyways.
The fans are booing every time you touch the puck in the third period.
Jerseys are on the ice last night during play.
During play. That is garbage behavior.
Yeah, that's not good, but it also kind of tells you just, and if you wanted a microscopic look at how the city's feeling about the team right now, that kind of tells you everything you need to know. That's 8 years of trying desperately and failing. And not just failing, but
in game seven,
but doing it in style. Miserably. Having a guy like Brad Marchand own you. What was Jeremy's stat say? He's 5-0 against the Toronto Maple Leafs in elimination games.
Yep.
Four with Boston, now one with Florida. He owns you. Scored the last goal last night at 3 total points. And this group in particular, it's not like this just brutal grind out game seven loss where Matthews has 2 goals. You know, Marner has 3 assists, and they're producing, and they're it's not falling their way. The core group fails regularly.
Yep.
Regularly. And what was Matthew's quote last night? Too many guys were passengers. Dude, you're kind of the guy. You're the face of that.
At the least, you're the pilot.
Yeah.
The failure. If there's too many guys that are passengers, you call it out as such, you're the pilot.
I saw him say that, and I was like, oh, you're the last person I would have okayed saying that. Like a Leafs PR person should have been like, shut up, don't say that.
Well, at that point, it's too
everything.
Late.
It's too late. But it's just, it's.
At that point, the PR person's going, no.
Or the PR person's going like, add him to the list, he's gone too. All right, cool, let's let's ride.
But that's the strangest thing is that they can move on from this core,
mm-hmm.
or at least half of this core four that they have of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and Tavares. Marner and Tavares are UFAs.
Yeah.
And you need to add another person. So that means that they might be active in the trade market. They are going to be active in unrestricted free agency based on what the free agency class might bring. Oh, by the way, there's more cap space for NHL teams now. You know what gets me giddy in the morning, Zach, on July 1st? NHL general managers with more money to spend than they know what to do with.
Which, if you look at NHL GMs, it's like
they don't have a good track record when they are given more money.
It's pretty much any money, they kind of lose it.
Someone might, and I'm going to say it's a bad idea. Someone might give Sam Bennett $9 million a year.
I know that's going to break my heart because I really want the Sabres to add Sam Bennett really bad.
But I'll tell you right now.
I was flirting with the idea of being a bad team GM
drinks,
out there.
If the team drinks from the stupid juice, which they do for unrestricted free agency, general managers get all sorts of crazy.
Yeah.
With extra cap space. That's why Vegas rose to prominence so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's because there were so many of those bad contracts.
Yep.
The 2017 free agency class, never forget it. And they rarely learn lessons.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm genuinely fascinated
to see what happens when a guy like Mitch Marner, arguably in his prime or at least kind of in the middle of it, hitting free agency, a guy like Sam Bennett, who you could argue has been a key piece to Florida's rise to, I mean,
Florida might have to make a choice between Bennett and Aaron Ekblad.
Ooh, yeah, that's going to be tough. But like, also, you look at Florida, they're facing Carolina in the Eastern Conference Finals. Who's the other big choke artist in the Eastern Conference? It's Carolina. So Florida is staring down the pipe of making 3 straight cup finals.
And that's a lot of hockey to play.
But also, that's where you're going to get a team going, we need any piece of that team.
Any piece
of that team is going to help us. And I've already said it. I would happily take Sam Bennett. Now, we've discussed the contracts. I've moved my price down. But I'm already at that point of I'd like to add Sam Bennett. But as you just mentioned, that's a lot of hockey over the last 3 years. He's already 28.
And he
plays a physical style. And he just had his best statistical season at 25 goals, 26 assists.
You say any piece, and I'm like, Teams are going to sign like Thomas Nosek to $3 million per year now.
Dude, Erod's going to get a huge contract. I mean, like that's the cup tax, but that also is to you've potentially made three cup finals. You've already at least made three straight Eastern Conference finals. You're one of the best teams the last 5-6 years.
Yeah.
Inarguably.
It is disgusting. And the thing is that their UFAs are Bennett, Marchand, Ekblad, and then like Nico Sturm, Thomas Nosek, Nate Schmidt.
Oh yeah, the big guy. Marchand's just going to get, I think, a big deal. Is he 36, 37?
Marchand's 37.
Oh man, but someone's going to give him like a 6-year deal, and you're just going to sit there and go, are you serious? What is happening?
You want me to say something controversial?
You would do it?
I would give Brad Marchand $7 million without a doubt for 2 or 3 years.
Oh, well, the years is important. The years is incredibly important.
3 years.
3 years, I think I would do.
I'll sign him to 40.
I think I would do.
Because Brad Marchand, while a pest, still plays a very skilled-based game, and he's still good at it.
Yep.
Until he's not, I'd throw $7 million a year at Brad Marchand and not blink twice. Now you want me to say something really controversial? I think Toronto needs to do it.
I heard Jeremy and Nate were talking about that this morning, and I fully agreed with that. I mean, now the joke was that he goes to Toronto and like the Toronto curse still continues, but like
he could kill you from the inside. But then I'd be like, what did Toronto do to you and who hurt you?
Yeah, in particular, what did they do to you? This is insane. But no, I mean, like, he is a killer. He is an absolute playoff killer.
But
he's also unbelievable.
Everyone forgets, because of how scuzzy he will toe the line or even cross it, Brad Marchand is a very good skill-based hockey player.
Mm-hmm.
He is responsible in his own zone, but he is also a top-tier point producer still at 37. He's a comfortable top six fixture.
Yeah.
So Marchand is a great idea there, and I think Toronto needs to be in on that. And I don't know if that's to fill the Marner size hole, but it definitely fills the Tavares one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm looking at a team that has been consistently at the top of the National Hockey League standings for years now. Looking at them going, they're going to miss a 100-point player and get nothing out of it in return.
No, and I mean, and get probably significantly worse.
And get at least a little bit worse.
Will not be the Florida John Huberdeau go to Calgary, and we actually will it become ascend. A better team.
Well, they also got something for that.
Yes, yes.
They get nothing for Marner now.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew it the minute that they didn't sign a new extension. How many times have I been saying something from the rooftops about Mitch Marner?
Yep.
To the Buffalo Sabres as the ideal. Now let's reintroduce that conversation in a different sense. Mitch Marner is kind of like the same way that I was pitching Miles Garrett. He is the face to an ideal that the Sabres need to be aggressive and need to add something to this team that they do not have. A top-tier talent.
Mm-hmm.
It can be through trade. It could be through unrestricted free agency. It doesn't have to be Marner. But he's the face representing the ideal.
Arguably, the ideal situation is actually not Marner.
Because he's going to cost so much.
Yeah.
It is a lot that you have to move books around for. The Sabres, as of this day, cannot afford the price he might command in unrestricted free agency.
Mm-hmm.
That said, money is always flexible. Players can be bought out. Matias Samuelson, looking at you.
The cap is quote-unquote not real.
The cap is somewhat not real. In hockey, it's a little harder to
It's
navigate.
A little harder, yes.
But it's still going to be fascinating. And then wherever Marner signs, for example, that team gets a huge boost, at least in the regular season. The playoff failures are the playoff failures. And I think it has to do with the mix, not necessarily just the player. But I've got the captain saying there are too many passengers in this one when he's part of the problem.
He's such a big part of the problem. He's such a big part of the problem, man.
And it's a lack of awareness in that sense to not say anything. In Game 5, Chris Tanev saying, I'll take responsibility. I'll eat that 6-1 loss in Game 5. And everyone's like, wait, what did you do wrong?
We were talking about this a few weeks ago with Toronto of I just want a different story. It turned out it was the exact same story.
It is the exact same story, but now with a different ending.
Yeah, with a very different ending, which it actually feels like the ending.
It's the bad ending.
Like, Matthews will be the guy that's left. They've got Matthew Nyes, who I kind of like, and there's arguably maybe he's playing hurt. I mean, he had a pretty good start to the playoffs against Ottawa. But you mentioned they don't really have any prospects. They have, like, no first-round picks. Now they're going to lose a 100-point score. Tavares was a big part of this group. They're probably going to let him go. I already know there's a lot of Sabres fans. I'm right there with you. Just, he's making, like, $11 million a year. Let's just get that into the single digits, and I'd be happy. But it's done. If this goes how everything is pointing to, this is done. We can't talk about this core of the Toronto Maple Leafs anymore now.
And
it'll be also, Matthews still, sure. But for the most part, it's done.
And Matthews is kind of going, oddly enough, in an Alex Ovechkin arc.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, for the longest time, had the damnedest – actually, throughout Ovechkin's entire career, Washington had the damnedest time trying to get past the second round.
Yeah.
And it was oftentimes, though, it was the second round, not the first round. That was typically Toronto's
That was problem. Toronto's issue.
But Washington did this, too. They move on from some core pieces, and Washington breaks through one time. It turns out it's the only time that they break through, but they break through one time.
Mm-hmm.
Toronto has a lot of talent there. And there's a fifth player, by the way, in Toronto that should be getting a lot of the same questions. Mm-hmm. Morgan Rielly.
Yeah.
He's been there
the whole time. That's right. Yeah.
The core four was not originally including Tavares. It included Rielly
because
they were all four of them, young players coming up together.
Yeah.
Making the playoffs. Then they signed Tavares and they still can't get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like the Leafs had this problem of depth being the issue. It is that the top four guys struggle. Their top four core players, I'm not even going to include Tavares on this as he was a UFA. Their core was their problem.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I think finally Brendan Shanahan loses his job. Because there's no one else that you haven't changed at that point other than the players. And, oh, by the way, two of them are conveniently going to take care of that.
Yeah, two of them you don't even have to worry about. You just let them walk.
It's not even a, oh, we need to get rid of them. No, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They are currently off your roster as of this moment. Your season ended. Their contract is up. Shanahan has to go. But I would be not surprised at all if he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
It is the fallout from this is going to be something. And yes, that technically does mean that the hockey world does circle around Toronto at this moment, but for very differing reasons than you'd typically hear about.
The older I get too, I'm cool with it. I'm fine with it. Like, I'm enjoying the hell out of the Knicks playoff run and the basketball world sort of like revolving around the Knicks and some of these young players. I'm cool with the fact that, like, for years come playoff time, like, the main topic is Toronto, because arguably kind of should have been until the Stanley Cup final. Toronto is a loaded roster in the regular season that becomes inept the moment the playoffs begin. And it has happened every year. They finally got past the bugaboo that was the first round, but ultimately in 8 years, they've won two playoff series. But they've got multiple Rocket Richard trophies. They've got multiple Hart trophy voting. They've been a dominant team in every statistical category except the one that ultimately does matter, the playoffs.
Not only the playoffs, Game 7.
Just Game 7. Oh, man, the Game 7s. Not really jumping on the NBA here, but Game 7s yesterday were horrendous.
Well, there was one Game 7 that was good. It just didn't end with a right ending.
Well.
Or that's not a Game 7. That's a Game 2. Nice job, Dave.
Game 2.
Shut up.
I was like, well, it wasn't a Game 7.
Shut up.
It was an elimination game.
They're now going to 7, quote unquote.
It was an elimination game that was close, but didn't have a good ending.
Not all television for sports was bad yesterday. No, it's more of what I was trying to say.
Also, Scottie Scheffler winning the PGA Championship. There we go.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. But it's just, you look at the two Game 7s yesterday, Oklahoma City just ran through Denver. mean, ran through Denver, was never really in a contest. And then you flipped on, and I tweeted yesterday, I was irrationally excited yesterday for a guy that kind of can't stand either of those franchises.
Yeah.
Florida's gotten to a point where I'm like, all right, I've seen way too much of you. I'm kind of done. Toronto, it's Toronto. And also, as we were saying, I want a different story here. Stop writing the same thing over and over and over again. 10 minutes into the game, Toronto couldn't get the puck out of their own zone.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's just going after them. And then, you know, we end the first period at 0-0, and you're like, you know what? Toronto had some nice chances there. That, you know, it's a few screw-ups here and there, but they had some nice shit. Bob had to make a great save. Here we go. It's in for a great game. Oh, it's 3-0 before he could blink in the second period. They scored, what, three of those goals in like a six-minute run?
Mm-hmm.
It was over before it even started. And then it eventually balloons to 6-1, which coincidentally was the exact same score as Game 5, both at Scotiabank Arena. Great job, guys. At home, you get absolutely embarrassed.
Dog-walked twice by the same score.
Same score.
By the way, you mentioned how we're kind of sick of seeing the same writing right now. Three of the four teams that made the conference final last year have made it.
Yeah. Is Carolina the only new one?
The difference is Carolina and the Rangers. Because Carolina choked against the Rangers in the second round.
Dallas, Edmonton, and then Carolina and Florida.
Yep.
But Dallas, Edmonton, and Florida, I'm jazzed for that.
But if Florida and Edmonton win again,
it's the same final.
Which then tells me maybe you should fix the lottery system.
Just don't have a lottery.
Yeah. Just take it back.
That conversation last week was so enlightening. Loved it. Not here. It was nationally.
Yeah.
That was
enlightening on to who the Rubes are.
So elitist.
Yeah.
We need a lottery because that's going to fix tanking. What tanking? Charlotte's not trying to be bad, guys.
Yeah.
They're trying to win desperately. They've just been bad. And then they get punished. Instead of having the first pick, they're like, no.
Also,
get the sixth. Also, move on.
Let's introduce a lottery system to a league where we've seen teams infamously eject themselves from the first overall pick in consecutive seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Houston yeeted themselves out of it after beating Indy in the last game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The Patriots.
Patriots are the most recent one.
In a game where the other team punted the game, by the way.
Yeah, I don't care.
The Patriots weren't the ones tanking that game. It was the Bills.
Yeah, I don't care if fans or radio hosts or anybody like that is like crying for tanking. That doesn't mean it's a big problem. I will say, I don't think the NHL loved how brazen the Sabres were about it.
That's why Tim Murray has never worked in sports ever again. That's why Sam Hinkie has never worked in sports ever again.
I will tell you, I think other organizations don't take kindly to that.
No.
Does it happen every now and then? Of course. Is it an epidemic? No. Do we need to introduce a lottery to somehow fix it?
No.
What are you on?
Yeah.
It doesn't fix it. It makes it worse. Yeah. It makes the good team stay competitive because even when they're a middling team, they've got a chance at the number one overall pick. Or not even just that, a top five pick.
And
look at the NBA lottery results. Yeah. It was Dallas, San Antonio, and Philadelphia.
Look at the NHL.
Yeah.
New York and Utah.
Yeah. Two teams who were fine, good, almost. And now, cool, you have the number one and number two overall pick.
And while Utah didn't move up to the number two overall pick in that one, they did move up 10 spots.
Are they three or four?
Four.
Four. But so, like, the 11th, so they moved up.
The 11th and 14th place teams won those lotteries.
Yeah. You know who would love a lottery in the NFL? Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh would love a lottery.
Yes. Pittsburgh would love a lottery so much.
They might be the only team who would love a lottery. Everyone else would be like,
because
cool.
Because they can stay mid forever and then land a first overall pick.
Bingo.
And change the entire dynamic of their franchise.
Yeah, cool. I think we'd all would love to see an 8-9, 9-8 Pittsburgh Steelers team in 2 years land Arch Manning. I think we'd all love that. Ridiculous. So dumb. 803-0550, the number two call. We're going to talk a little bit about the NHL playoffs, especially Toronto and everything that's going on there or what is eventually going to be going on there. But we've also got two guests today, and starting right after this quick timeout, Sal Mariana of the Democrat and Chronicle. It is a Monday at 10:30. Talk a little baseball. We had the Subway Series and the Freeway Series going on this weekend. Get his thoughts on some of that as well. And we'll see, you know, if he watched Game 7s yesterday, which were bad TV. Man at 11, Zach Pearson of the Bear Report. There is a book coming out, Seth Wickersham. Caleb Williams was a part of it. Not a great light on the Bears organization. We'll get Zach's thoughts on that coming up at 11. But, of course, your call is always welcome to 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.